When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. College football playoff announced yesterday. Alabama gets that final spot. Michigan, Alabama is your 1-4 matchup, and Washington, Texas is your 2-3 matchup, which means for the first time ever, an undefeated conference champion, ACC's FSU at 13-0, outside looking in. Georgia at 12-1, outside looking in. Did they get it right? That is what everybody is debating today. I personally think they did. And in fact, I have a bigger beef with Georgia not ahead of Florida State than I do with Florida State not ahead of Alabama. And my reasoning behind that is, if we're going to do this concept of the best possible teams, there's no justification actually putting FSU 5. They should be lower. They should see, the committee had an opportunity to eliminate this as a conversation altogether. If we're not doing the resume and we're just doing who's the best, who's going to argue that FSU with a third string quarterback is better than Georgia?
Nobody is, but I think the committee is going to let the teams on the field do the arguing for them. That's why they have Florida State in that fifth spot, and they're matched up against Georgia. So everybody on the world can see that Georgia is clearly a better team, and Georgia is not going to be one of the four teams fighting for a national championship. So if Georgia is on the outside looking in, they're going to show you why Florida State deserves to be where they're at and not participating in the college football playoff. That's the only thing that makes sense from a rationale standpoint, from a logic standpoint, as why the committee would have Florida State as a top six team. Because guess what? Florida State's not better than Georgia. Florida State's not better than Oregon. They're not better than Ohio State. They're not better than any of those teams right now without Jordan Travis. They're just not. But because of how things played out, and because they are an undefeated team in a Power 5 conference that won their conference championship game, they had to have them in a top six position. But now they get to match them up against the team that had won 29 straight games going into Saturday. And I think people will see the difference in the quality of competition when Georgia plays Florida State. I just don't think that game is going to be particularly close. Right now, Georgia is a double-digit favorite against Florida State, and I'd be surprised if that game isn't more one-sided than the spread would suggest.
You are probably right about that, but question for you two. If Jordan Travis was healthy, would Florida State be in?
Yes.
But the result is the same. The results are the same.
Whether
he's in or out, they went undefeated. They're an undefeated Power 5 champion.
No, I don't look at it that way. How many games was Jordan Travis out for? Two or three, something like that already?
Two games. Yeah.
Okay, so they're 2-0. That's how the team that they were voting on yesterday is a 2-0 football team. There's not enough body of work to determine them as this great team. I understand why people think FSU got screwed here, but why don't we have the same outrage for Georgia that didn't lose a single game all season, and their first loss was to Alabama and Nick Saban by, what, 3 points on Saturday, right? So, like, what are we talking about here? There should be more outrage with the SEC team. And by the way, we could play this game, and you're right about this. I'll go one step further. Let's pretend somebody that's a head football coach in college football that went to Florida State was their head coach. Deion Sanders. They'd be in. Guarantee you they'd be in. If Deion was their head coach, and that's not a knock on Mike Norvell. The reality is, it's a TV show. How are you going to look at anyone above Alabama in that spot? SEC, Nick Saban, Jalen Milroe. Texas is a huge brand. Penix is now a guy that people know. Harbaugh, we know that. Florida State's just not as good as these other teams.
I don't want to get into the brands of it all and the hypothetical of Deion being their head coach, because I think that muddies the waters. But what I'll say is this. I think it's clear and obvious that Florida State is not better than the four teams that the committee put in. They're just not.
They're not better than five or six.
And I get that the people that are supporters of Florida State think that it's a slippery slope when the committee gets into the business of prognosticating or predicting what the matchups will be, or whether it be, you know, you know, competitive, things of that nature. But that's the position that the committee is putting in. That's the system that college football adopted. We're going to go with a committee of 24 people, and they're going to get in the room and try to put context around the resumes of all of these teams and then decide at the end of the season who are the best four teams that actually have the resume but also put together the best competition, the best games. And coming off of the national championship game last year that was anticlimactic where Georgia blew the doors off of TCU, you got to think it's top of mind for Boo Corrigan and everybody that sits in that room making that decision that we've got to put teams in here that it can be actually competitive. Looking at Michigan, Alabama, that's going to be an awesome semifinal. Looking at Washington and Texas, that's going to be great storylines, especially when you consider the history of both of those programs. So I don't see the case being made that Florida State belongs in that group. And like I said before, Florida State is not better than teams behind them in the final CFP ranking. They're not better than Georgia. They're not better than Oregon. They're not better than Ohio State. They're just not without Jordan Travis.
Here's what – okay, if I was an FSU fan and I was thinking logically about all of this and not just my team was 13-0, I need to be in, where I'd have the biggest beef is why did you put me number four last week? Why did last week seem like best resumes and this week seems like best teams? That's where my beef would be.
Yeah, it went from resume to eye test.
Yes. And so I think...
Well, you went from your number two quarterback to your number three quarterback with Brock Glenn.
That's true.
God have mercy. Brock Glenn threw for 55 yards and then went over Louisville. 55 yards.
And
How awful was that game?
FSU fans are saying that, hey, well, look
nobody wanted to watch that game and FSU won it. Nobody wanted to see that.
But they're still undefeated.
No,
they're an undefeated Power 5 conference champion.
But Smalls, if you're going to argue
two,
for them.
The two conferences are not the same, though, Smalls. Like, that's the other
that's
part of the
key
math, too.
Right there.
Like, the College Football Playoff Committee, in their rankings, in the penultimate rankings, had six SEC teams in the top 25. They had six, by far and away more than anybody else. The next closest was four. So, I mean, if they're telling us that the best conference in all of college football, when you include the depth of the competition, is the SEC, then how in the world can you keep the SEC champion that has one loss out of the playoff? Especially when they have the most impressive win of anybody in college football all this year. How?
You can't. You really can't. From an entertainment standpoint, from a talent standpoint, you know that whether it was Georgia or Alabama, one of those teams were going to get in. You knew that they were going to punch their ticket. And I would say maybe the Big Ten is the second best conference from a talent standpoint. I mean, you're a Michigan guy. We saw the reaction when Alabama was seeded against Michigan.
They don't want that smoke.
As a Michigan guy, how are you feeling today
they don't want that
you're
smoke.
Going up against the SEC?
They don't want that smoke. And it feels like a de facto punishment for Michigan with the sign stealing scandal. Okay, you're in the playoff. You got the number one seed. We're going to give you Alabama. Like, we're not going to give you Texas. We're going to give you Alabama.
A red-hot Alabama.
You enjoy that one for. You have that. But here's the thing. Alabama is a better football team than Florida State. Like, there is no argument. They just beat Georgia, the team that was number one in every ranking coming into this season and up until Saturday, number one in the country. It does not make any sense to keep Alabama and Georgia out of the playoff in lieu of putting Florida State in, a team that's on their third-string quarterback in a lesser conference than the SEC and the Big Ten. I just don't see how that makes sense.
You have to take somebody out to put somebody in, right? I think that's the whole argument that everybody's out there like, oh, FSU should be in. FSU deserves to be in. Sure, okay. Who do you want out? Who do you want out? Until you can answer that question, you have a problem, right? And I could sit there and say, Georgia, I think, should be in. Okay, well, who do you want out? I'm fine taking Washington or Texas out. I know the masses don't agree with me, but I'm fine with that. So at least I have to have an answer to that. 888-SAY-ESPN is your telephone number to join the show. Dr. Pepper, call-in line. David in Connecticut watching on ESPN2. What's up, David?
Morning, guys. Hey, morning. I got an answer to that question. If you look at the schedule, overall schedule of the certain teams that played, Michigan is a team that does not belong in there by strength of schedule. I think their schedule was like 111th. They beat an average Penn State team, a horrible Iowa team. The only legitimate win is Ohio State. That was close. The SEC, the Pac-10. You put Michigan in either conference this year, they come out of that conference with three losses easy. I also want to say.
Well, you don't know that though. That's the thing. We can't assume that. Like, you can't say that. Like that's a hypothetical in the past that we can never prove. So, I mean, I don't know how you use that as a part of your argument.
What I'm saying is like, do you honestly think if you put Michigan and Georgia on the field tomorrow, that Michigan
I think it'd be a good game. I think it'd be a really good game.
Just like TCU did.
I think Michigan and Georgia will be a really good game. I don't think Michigan against Florida State or Georgia against Florida State would be a particularly good game.
Yeah,
and as a matter of fact, we had Joe Fortenbaugh, who had his buddy at Westgate Sportsbook, project what those matchups would be like. And Michigan was a 13-point favorite over Florida State, and Georgia was a 14.5-point favorite. I mean, so they're basically telling you that Michigan and Georgia are two touchdowns better than Florida State.
And blindly, if you give me any great team and it's a non-SEC team versus an SEC team in a college football playoff, I'm going to pick the SEC team. They are battle-tested in a way that is different than any other conference. Gary in Jacksonville watching on ESPN2. What's up, Gary?
Good morning. Chris, I couldn't disagree with you more. Alabama lost by double digits at home to Texas. Florida State is undefeated. That's not fair to penalize all the rest of the FSU players because their quarterback got injured. They won the ACC with their third quarterback. That's, to me, that's more impressive.
So who do you want out? You want Alabama out?
That's the thing. So you want Alabama out because, and they won the SEC?
Right,
which
you
is
have
by
to
far
take
the
a
tough,
team out to put a team in.
That's the thing. Like, Alabama won the tougher conference by far. Like, if we're doing strength of conferences, the ACC is down on line, maybe the third or fourth best conference. And that's not according to us. That's according to the rankings. Look at the CFP top 25. Look at the AP top 25. They're telling us that the ACC is an inferior conference mm-hmm. to the Big Ten and to the SEC.
Right.
So why should we wait being the ACC champion over being the SEC champion if the difference between the two teams is one loss on the field? And keep in mind, Alabama's loss is to a team that's third in the college football playoff.
And also remember,
and early in the season.
That's what I'm like. What are we talking about?
FSU wanted out of the conference that they're in. You can't then say, look at us, we went undefeated in this conference, when you're the ones who told us how bad that conference is. All right, coming up, we've got all the
small things.
But first, CeCe has this from O-O-O.
O'Reilly, did you know 1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. That's free 99. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the best superstart battery for your vehicle and your budget. Make sure your vehicle is ready for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Straight to the Houston Texans, who had a big win, 22-17 over the Denver Broncos. I don't think we'd be saying that at the beginning of the season, that the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos had a big matchup. But guys, the Texans are sitting there at 7-5. They match their win total from the previous two seasons combined. The turnaround of the Houston Texans this season has been absolutely remarkable. Let's not forget how big of a hot mess the Houston Texans were. You had all of the saga with Deshaun Watson. You had a pastor running the show. You had two coaches who were one and done in Lovie Smith and David Culley. You had just a really, really bad situation and a bad football team. And all of a sudden, C.J. Stroud comes in, you get the right head coach in D'Amico Ryans, and here they are looking like a team that could make the playoffs. I don't think it could be understated how remarkable this turnaround has been for the Texans.
Absolutely, and the best thing that the Texans did yesterday is not turn the football over, and that's been the catalyst for the five-game win streak with the Denver Broncos. They've won the turnover margin going into yesterday. The last four games that they played, they generated 15 takeaways. The Texans starved them with takeaways and created takeaways of their own. They had three interceptions on Russ, including two in the fourth quarter. Up until yesterday, Russell Wilson hadn't thrown a fourth quarter interception all season. So the fact that they were able to get those takeaways at the end and end the game with an interception in the end zone, really impressive by the Texans. And I want to give a shout out to Texans rookie Will Anderson, because he gets overshadowed a lot by C.J. Stroud and what he's doing. And not to disparage C.J. Stroud, but Will Anderson yesterday, two quarterback sacks, four quarterback hits. He had a tip pass that ended up being an interception that led to a touchdown for the Houston Texans. The guy had a blocked punt. I mean, he was an absolute game wrecker yesterday. I mean, you might be talking about defensive player of the week in the AFC with how good Will Anderson Jr. was yesterday. Absolutely phenomenal.
Two things on the Texans I just want to bring up. There was something early on in this game that C.J. Stroud did on a fourth down that went unnoticed that I wanted to point out. He baited a Denver defender into knocking into him to get an unnecessary roughness call to get the first down. It was brilliant. It was LeBron.
You're talking about Alex Singleton.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, Alex Singleton, the linebacker.
Linebacker, sorry.
Linebacker, yeah.
It was LeBron,
it was in the red zone, yeah.
It was LeBron Draymond in the 2016 NBA Finals, where LeBron was baiting Draymond to knock into him, and that is exactly what C.J. Stroud did to give his team a first down. It was brilliant. Also, they did suffer a big loss. Tank Dell is going to be out for the season. They're a stud wide receiver.
That was on the same drive that play happened.
Yeah, and a running play, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was inside on a running play trying to block. But not a good thing for a 175-pound receiver.
They just do a lot of smart things that if you're a Texans fan, you could buy into.
We had the debate last week. Is it more important to get the quarterback right or the head coach right? The Texans seemingly got both.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Oh, Nico Collins for the Texans, too. How can we not shout him out, the wide receiver? 9 catches, 191 yards, and a touchdown, and a couple of big plays. I mean, this is a team that's really, really good. Like, they're a good football team. Mm-hmm. It's gone from being a good story to a good football team, and that's based on what we saw in that win yesterday.
And if you're a team right now that's in a really bad spot and probably have some turnover, like let's say you're the Chicago Bears, are you not looking at the Houston Texans and saying, if they can do it, why can't we do it?
But how? How? Like, that's a thing.
You have to draft right and make a smart hire.
The Texans have two top five picks. The Bears will have potentially two top five picks.
There's a lot of similarities.
They're getting rid of their head coach, presumably. The Texans got rid of there. I mean, it's there.
It's there.
The makings are there, Smalls. You're not off base.
I would just look at them, and nobody thought. I mean, the Houston Texans were as big of a hot mess as we've seen in recent memory.
No doubt.
And we have forgotten all about that because of the success that they're having this season. So if I'm the Bears, I'm looking at the Houston Texans, and that's my message. We could do it too. We just have to be really, really smart. Next one. You guys, are you more interested in the We Were Snubbed Bowl in Georgia and FSU than you are Washington, Texas? Because I am. I think that's a more compelling matchup than Washington, Texas.
Depends. You think it's compelling?
I think it's compelling.
Depends. Because a lot of times, the big-time team that gets snubbed doesn't care about the bowl game. Georgia's not necessarily going to be all in on the Orange Bowl, but they still may be able to beat Florida State, not all in the Orange Bowl. If both teams are all in, yeah, it's interesting, but Georgia will win by double digits.
I think both of these teams have something to prove, and they're going to come out and want to absolutely destroy the other one to prove that the committee got it wrong.
Yeah, I think Georgia's going to roll Florida State. I don't think this is going to be close. I don't.
What if Florida State wins? And what if they win in dominant fashion? I mean, the debate will rage on forever that they should have been.
I mean, it'll kind of be like what happened with UCF a while back, right? When they had the undefeated season, got left out of the playoff, and they won their bowl game. And they said, well, we should be national champs too. They had their own parade. They did all of these things. Like that's what it feels like it's setting up for. But I don't think Georgia is going to lose to Florida State. I just don't see that happening. I mean, even if Georgia plays guys that aren't, you know, regular starters, even their guys that are reserves are five-star recruits, the best that the country has to offer in any given year. So I don't know, man. I don't think it's particularly close when it comes to those two teams.
But even if FSU were to beat Georgia in the Orange Bowl, which I don't think is going to happen, I'm sorry, I'm going to tell you in advance, I don't believe they would have beaten Georgia in a college football playoff. It just would tell me that Georgia doesn't care. Because they've won 29 in a row. They played in two back-to-back national championships. It's one of those whatever kind of games for them. It's not going to happen, though. Georgia's going to win.
Yeah.
I also feel really badly for Jordan Travis. Did you guys see the tweet that he put
out?
He said, for those who haven't seen it, I wish my leg broke earlier in the season so y'all could see this team is much more than the quarterback. I thought results matter. 13-0, and this roster matches up across any team in those top four rankings. I am so sorry. Go Noles. I just feel so badly for him. When the committee comes out and says, if this guy was healthy, your team would be in, that's a lot of pressure to put on that player who had nothing to do with the reason why he's not out on the football field.
I mean, he should be in the Heisman, right? He should be in the Heisman.
He should.
If he means that much to his team.
I will say, while his post is so heartwarming and heartbreaking simultaneously, he happens to be right. If, God forbid, that injury happened earlier and they had Tate Rodemaker for the whole year, it may have looked differently. He's right about that. We don't know what this is. A 2-0 football team to the committee. It's sad, but it's true.
Last one, guys. There was a lot of star power last night. Chiefs and Packers. You had Simone Biles in the house. You had Taylor Swift in the house. Jordan Love outshone both of those ladies, who are big superstars in their own rights. I love this story. So his first NFL start was against the Kansas City Chiefs. It was November 7th, 2021. It was a disaster. Jordan Love was awful in that game. He had circled this matchup for a long time. It was 756 days to the date from when he made his debut against the Kansas City Chiefs, and it was a bad game where he came out and had a performance like that to upset the Chiefs last night. So shout out to Jordan Love. It took a long time for him to get here and prove that he could be the guy, but I think we all are in agreement that Jordan Love looks like the guy for the Green Bay Packers moving forward.
Yeah, the Chiefs shouldn't have had his mama in the nosebleeds in that first game.
That's right.
Exactly.
She got upgraded to the suite.
She was in the box last night. She is in that suite. 20-degree weather. It's probably nice to be in a suite in the NFL game, but yeah. Jordan Love showed out, man. There were a couple of throws in there that were just big boy talent throws. Like, I mean, in the third quarter, the 4th-and-1 situation in plus territory, off his back foot in the triple coverage, ends up completing the ball to Romeo Doubs. Then he has the touchdown throw a few plays later to Christian Watson, and that's in the back of the end zone, again, off of his back foot. That just shows you the kind of arm talent that this kid has, and it reaffirms the belief the organization had 4 years ago when they drafted him in the first round. It's starting to feel like the juice is worth the squeeze when it came to taking Jordan Love, knowing that it would be clunky transitioning from Rodgers to him. And I will say this, the Green Bay Packers made the right decision in pulling the plug on Aaron Rodgers when they did, and they're going to be rewarded for it this year. They're going to finish with a better record, and they're going to finish in the playoffs in year one with their new starting quarterback than they did in year 18 with their Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
It's what I've been saying, and I will continue to say it. If you look at a 2-year stretch with the Green Bay Packers, they are better with Jordan Love than they were with Aaron Rodgers, flat out. And you could look at their schedule and think they could finish the season with 8 straight wins. It's not impossible.
Nope.
It is not impossible they win the next 5.
Not playing the way they did last night?
Yeah, they're going to win. If that game is then like replicated in the next 5, they are going to win. And let's also say one other thing. The Green Bay Packers won the Aaron Rodgers trade. Not debatable. They won the Aaron Rodgers trade.
And they still got a second-round pick coming to them.
And the New York Jets have all of the bad weight, the dead weight, that Rodgers, all the GM moves that he made. Lazard, 0 catches yesterday. I don't even know if Cobb was there. They cut Adrian Amos this week. Nathaniel Hackett is the guy that all Jets fans want out. Rodgers, that trade, clearly won by the Packers, and it's not even debatable anymore. Green Bay will have more wins this year than they did a year ago. Coming up. Real or fake? We'll find out next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
The Jimmy V Classic from Madison Square Garden in New York City. 13th-ranked Florida Atlantic faces number 24 Illinois, followed by 4th-ranked UConn at number 17 North Carolina. The Jimmy V Classic. Coverage begins tomorrow at 6 Eastern with tip-off at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Real versus fake, brought to you by Real Christmas Trees. Get real and keep it real this holiday season by buying real Christmas trees at Lowe's or wherever real Christmas trees are sold. For more information, visit GetRealKeepItReal.com. Get the real trees. They're available. They're affordable. They're better for the environment, and they're helping the American Christmas tree farmer keep their jobs.
Yeah, so you walked me into this because we were talking Patriots Chargers during the break, and of course we would talk that during the break because there would be no reason to talk about that during the show other than to say Khalil Mack is having a hell of a year. Two sacks yesterday, puts his season total at 15, wow, which is really a turn back the clock kind of year for Khalil Mack. I mean, because he hadn't had a double-digit sack season in each of the previous 4 years. You got to go back to 2018, the last time Khalil Mack had a double-digit sack season, which prompted me, why would he have this kind of renaissance? Why would it have this kind of resurgence? And I told our producer, Nuno, it had to be because of the contract. Khalil Mack's cap hit in the final year of his contract next year, $38 million. That's why Khalil Mack is balling out of his mind. There's nothing that motivates a player like fresh cash. There's no way the Chargers are going to let him pay on the $38 million. They're either going to restructure, you know, give him an extension, or they're going to give him his outright release. And if that ends up being the case for a guy that had 15 sacks, he's going to get a lot of money. A lot of money.
Real versus fake, Smalls.
Real money.
Real money for Khalil Mack. That's flying under the radar for sure. Okay, guys. The Lions beat the Saints 33-28 yesterday. Real or fake? The Lions had a bad win.
Fake, because there's no such thing as a bad win. But simultaneously, I can say that I believe CeCe's take of keep an eye on the Lions for the number one seed based on the schedule, and I'm a little concerned about them, can both be true. Because they're not playing that well in terms of how they did earlier in the season. They had a bad loss, obviously, on Thanksgiving. They were up 21-0 in this 21 against the 21. Saints here and almost blew that lead altogether. So, no, they didn't have a bad win. That is fake, like the Christmas trees that you should not buy. But there's some concern there.
Yeah, they can't rush the quarterback, and they allowed the last six games 28.8 points per game. In the first six games, they allowed 18.8 points per game. So their points per game over the last third of the season is up by 10. Opponents are getting 6 yards of play on them, and opponents are scoring 85% of red zone trips. That ain't great. So their defense is hustling backwards, is trending in the wrong direction, and unless they get that thing figured out, we could be talking about an early exit or earlier than anticipated exit from the playoffs for the Detroit Lions.
Interesting. All right, next one. Arizona Cardinals 24-10 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Real or fake, the Cardinals had a bad win.
Okay, under the premise that there's no such thing as a bad win, but yes, real. But here's the thing. I think that we asked that question because of draft positioning, obviously. It's starting to feel like maybe they are going to actually just keep Kyler Murray. I never bought it. I never thought that he was going to be their guy. I thought there was going to be some sort of way that they were going to keep him out altogether this year and not let him play for them. It doesn't feel like that is what's happening. So I'm confused by the Cardinals' direction. I don't believe that Kyler can be that guy. They seem to believe that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. They're getting more proof of concept. And Kyler Murray, before he got hurt last year, had this team headed in an upward trajectory. Every year they got better. His first year they were 5-10-1. Second year they were 8-8. And then the third year of his career, they were a double-digit win team and in the playoffs. So they were moving in the right direction. Took a step back because of the injury last year. Now it's starting to look like he's the same old Kyler Murray in terms of his mobility and his playmaking. If you add to that a dominant receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr., which they would now be in position to get because they have the third overall pick, look out. Like, they've addressed the offensive line. They continue to try to upgrade that. They drafted Paris Campbell with a top 10 pick last year. Remember, they're also going to get some help from the in terms of the pick wise from Houston. So, I mean, this is a team that's positioned now with a lot of draft capital. If they're settled on Kyler Murray being their future franchise quarterback, then they're going to have the ammunition to put a lot of talent around them. The Arizona Cardinals ain't that far off.
Which is shocking to say. I don't know. I just kind of assumed that because of the injuries and because of the independent study clause that was in the contract, that they were going to move on from him no matter what.
But here's the one thing I will say, and it ends up being a good win because the Cardinals are proving that they have a good head coach. Like, for a team to be doing all this losing and still be competitive in all of these games and now in the second half find your way on the right side of some of these outcomes, that's what you're looking for in terms of a team not quitting on the head coach and the head coach helping a young roster find ways to win.
Can we say the same thing about Bill Belichick? Chargers 6, Patriots nothing. Real or fake, the Pats had a good loss.
Fake. I'm sorry. I'm a Pats fan. I can't root against them. It's infuriating to watch a 6-0 loss. In their last three games, their defense has allowed 10 points or less in each of the last three, and they've lost all of those games. They've scored 13 points in the last three games combined. It's brutal. In their last four games, it's been 20 or less. They've allowed 46 points total in four games. Basically, 11 points a game is what they're allowing, and they've lost all of them. Yes, now they're fully entrenched into that two spot for Drake May, and they're closing in potentially on number one overall to get Caleb Williams, but it's painful to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's real. It was a good loss for the Pats. I mean, it's not about this year. It's about the future, and I don't think Bill Belichick, I don't think Bailey Zappi or Mac Jones are a part of that future. You need the highest draft pick possible to get Caleb Williams or Drake May. Right now, they're sitting at two right behind the Chicago Bears, and the Bears have that pick by way of Carolina. So you'll be in position to get one of those two quarterbacks, which are both viewed as transcendent talents. Good on the New England Patriots. That is your future, that draft pick.
Keep losing. Last one, guys. The Falcons beat the Jets 13-8. Real or fake, the Jets had a good loss?
Real. I'm going to say real. Like, for the Jets, listen, they had to win one of the next three games going into Week 13 in order to keep alive the possibility that you could see Aaron Rodgers come back for that Washington Commanders game. I think that's on Christmas Eve. Atlanta was by far the easiest opponent that you had, the easiest opportunity to get that done. You lost that game, so now it's about being able to stack losses to move up the draft board. Right now they're at sixth. They want to move up because they've got to find a quarterback. And even if Aaron Rodgers comes back and all goes well, how much runway you got with a 41-year-old quarterback?
Not much.
So you need to start grooming the successor for what you're doing right now in the way of Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And it's ironic that Aaron Rodgers is going to find himself in the same situation that he was in Green Bay with the New York Jets.
I would say it's real. It's a good loss because the Jets have had seven quarterbacks over the last 2 years. They have the least amount of offensive touchdowns through 12 games in NFL history. They're horrific. They cannot allow Aaron Rodgers to come back. And the more they lose, the less likely it is for him to come back.
They've had four offensive touchdowns in the last 88 drives.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're going to – by the way, I had a – you know what?
How does Nathaniel Hackett still have a job?
Because of Aaron Rodgers.
I want to add one other name I was thinking about yesterday.
Wow, that's brutal.
We've had the conversation –
think about that.
We've had the conversation a bunch about the guys that we're assuming that Aaron Rodgers won't let them go get, right, like Kirk Cousins early on in the season, Josh Dobbs. Joe Flacco, I'm going to add another name to that list. Joe Flacco was on the Jets last year. Joe Flacco is better than we saw yesterday with the Browns, even though they lost. He's better than any quarterback that's played for the Jets since Rodgers this season.
Four touchdowns in the last 88 drives, Smalls.
Number to join the show in the documentary.
That's the Jets offense. Four touchdowns in the last 88 drives.
And it's so Jets that you thought not only you had Aaron Rodgers, but that Zach Wilson was going to be able to sit behind him, really have a mentor, absorb this, take his time, and then maybe Zach Wilson could be the bridge for a season or two post-Aaron Rodgers. And now you don't have either one of those guys.
Brian in North Carolina listening on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. What's up, Brian?
What's up, guys? I love you. Love the new show. I listen every day.
Thank you.
I just wanted to point out that just a moment ago, Evan said that there's no such thing as a bad win, but I think the CFP would disagree.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about the NFL, but I'm saying it is different. Yes, the CFP would look at it, the College Football Playoff Committee would look at it and say bad wins, I guess. Yeah, wins in the ACC would be considered bad wins, and wins in the SEC are considered good wins. But there's the difference. Standings versus rankings. There are two different things. Standings, the wins don't count differently. You could beat the Panthers or beat the Eagles, and they count exactly the same. That's the thing. In rankings, they don't. So, again, when people want to do this compare and contrast between the NFL and college football, and they want to bring up the Nick Foles, that, okay, well, if Carson Wentz goes down, then what happens there? Then you shouldn't be in. Standings versus rankings, ladies and gentlemen, two different things. Coming up, I'm over it on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You need to always say our and not your. I heard Pat talking to Nuno, and he said, what do you have for your, and then fill in the radio terms here. Why, if you're part of a team, would you ever say your and not our? That bothers me. Pat doesn't consider himself part of our team.
Come again? You're going to have to break this down a little further.
Yeah, same.
Okay, so
yeah.
I'll be specific.
Yeah.
The open for every segment, when we start the segment, there's some audio, imaging, whatever it is, production elements, right? And Pat said to Nuno, what do you have for your production instead of our production? He has now disassociated himself from the show because he's working on TV and not radio today.
But there's a delineation between what we play from the TV side and what we play from the radio side. So I think he was probably saying your side today.
Nope, not at the top of the hour. Or
thank
when
you.
When our opens.
I tried to back Pat up.
No, all good. Nope.
Yeah. Oh,
this is real inside baseball with you to start off.
No, it's the end.
I'm over it.
It's the words your versus our. If you're part of any team out there, it's always our and not your. Next thing. I'm over the 3-in-1 cell phone chargers that can't actually charge. Everyone says you're supposed to put a cover on a phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when you put it on these cell phone chargers that are the stand-up ones, they don't charge because the cover's on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So they sell these things, and I go to put them on, and it doesn't charge. And then you got to take the case off of the phone. So then what are you supposed to do? Do you have a case on your phone?
I do. Here, I'll grab
and,
it.
And then you can't put it on the charging dock.
But don't they have the magnetic cordless charger? Well, I actually have a case where you can charge it.
Me too.
While the case is still
the
on
the supercharger.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Why don't I have that?
I don't
that's
know.
A you problem.
That's a you
so that's just a me thing?
That is a you thing, yes, sir.
We both have it.
Yeah, we both have it.
Okay. I did not know that.
I'm over it. It's off to a shaky start today. Shaky start.
Hand sanitizer has been chilling on.
All right, next one.
I mean, we're advertising hand sanitizer today.
I don't know why that was.
Mistaken texts. Very annoying.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous, too.
Okay.
All you got to do is ask Ryan Shazier.
Oh.
I don't know if that was mistaken. Mistaken texts. Yesterday, I got a text message from someone on December 3rd saying, happy birthday. Yesterday was not my birthday. I then responding back saying, huh? What? I don't know what to do in that spot.
Just say it's not my birthday.
Right, but then it's like I'm making the person feel bad, you know, and then I don't know what exactly to do.
Nuno,
our producer, texted me happy birthday yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Nuno?
It was not my birthday.
Nuno, did you mean to send it to a different Evan?
Yes, Evan Wilner.
Ah.
So it was his birthday yesterday.
Okay, exactly. But now I got to turn. Why didn't you then tell me that? Because then I could have wished him a happy birthday.
I said, sorry, wrong Evan.
Who's the right Evan?
Evan Wilner.
I mean, but how was I supposed to know that? I can't then ask him. The mistaken text is very annoying. That when you get it, what do you do in that spot? You just say, is this for me? How do you respond?
Well, he told you it was the wrong Evan.
But he didn't tell me the right one.
Well, he didn't. You didn't ask, though. He didn't need to tell you that.
He should have told me. So if you get a mistaken
text. So he should have told you that it was Evan. It was another Evan whom you may or may not know's birthday.
Well, he knows I know him. He works here. But so, what do you do on the mistaken text?
Well, one time somebody sent me a birthday gift when it wasn't my birthday.
Okay, wait
did you
a
give it
more,
back?
More
no,
details
I kept the
on
gift.
That.
You kept the
wait,
gift?
What? Yeah, a guy sent me a birthday gift once and was like, happy birthday. And I was like, it's not my birthday, but I'm keeping this gift.
What was the gift?
It was some clothes, nice clothes.
Oh, very nice. Very
Why
nice.
Did he think it was your birthday?
Because I had posted a picture on Instagram and there was a cake in it with a candle and it wasn't for me and he thought it was my birthday.
Yeah. So it was really nice clothes, though.
Yeah.
It's really dicey as a guy. It's dicey as a guy to buy your significant other some clothes. Like, because you just don't know which way that's going to go. But this guy did all right.
Yeah, he did good. And then I was like, thanks. It's not my birthday, though. And he was like, okay, well. And it was.
You should have played it off, though.
It was in, like, March. I'll treat you like it's your birthday every day. So it was way off.
Way off.
And I kept it.
Way off.
Wow. All right, last one. I'm not going to
return it.
Last one.
No, absolutely not. You're not going to return it.
I'm over office thievery because we have it going on today.
Yeah, Slippergate.
Slippergate.
Go ahead, Cece.
Yeah, I don't understand it. So Friday after I get done with First Take, I've got my slippers on while I'm sitting at the desk with Stephen A. Smith because they're not doing a close-up on my feet while we're talking about sports. So I do First Take.
And if they were, you'd have to charge people for that.
Exactly. Put that behind a paywall for Rex Ryan and others. But here's what I would say.
He's down the hall.
Yeah, I know. But listen, there's nothing I would say now on this show that I wouldn't say to his face. But anyway, so I digress. What I would say is this. I came back to our studio, and one Bart Scott was sitting where I'm sitting right now. And I said, well, I can't go in the studio and put my slippers in the closet behind me, so I'll just leave them in the control room. Come back this morning, slippers are gone, nowhere to be found. Double-checked the green room just to make sure I didn't leave them in there, but I went back and retraced all of my steps from Friday before I left the building, and my slippers were nowhere to be found. So the only thing that I'm left to assume is that one Bartholomew Scott found a way to pull a prank on me, or he took my slippers home and he didn't realize they weren't his. That's the only thing that I could come up with. I hate pointing the finger of blame at somebody or accusing somebody, but at this standpoint, Smalls, with the evidence that I have, I don't know any other way to go with this.
I also love that you used his government name when accusing him of thievery.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't Bart Scott, it's Bartholomew.
Bartholomew.
Scott.
He's Bartholomew.
But should we get him on the phone, or should we get him for a statement here?
Well, I'm supposed to go on Bart and Hahn at 2 o'clock when on 98.7 ESPN locally in New York today. So I think I'll have to address Slippergate today when I go on their show. I'll have to confront him about it.
You have to.
Yeah, exactly.
No, hello. Just did you steal my slippers?
Yeah.
Right away, 2 p.m. Eastern.
And before we do that, we should triple check the office and the studio just to make sure.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're behind that wall over there.
I don't think so.
They're not back there.
It's not back there.
We do have some interesting breaking news here. Ohio State quarterback Kyle McCord has announced that he is going to be in the, or it's been reported he's been going to be in the transfer portal. 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, the junior this year for Ohio State. Their starting QB is now transferring. This is college football now. I see a lot of people kind of pointing out, like, okay, they're going to blame him for this year. Ohio State and Ryan Day, assuming he is back next year, are going to have to ante up for someone. I don't know if it's Cameron Ward, the quarterback of Washington State, a lot of people are talking about.
He's going to get a lot of money. A whole lot of money.
Is he the one you'd go try to get if you're Ohio
State? Oh, of course.
State?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there anybody else?
He's better than Kyle McCord.
Is there anybody else that's out there that we look at and say that they could go get? Like, this is what college football is. It is free agency in a great way. I actually think it's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I think this is actually helping college football. The idea that we have free agency in this sport and that Ohio State, a team that was on the outside looking in the college football playoff, that could have been in the college football playoff, is now in the market for a quarterback.
And here's what makes it better than free agent. There is no salary cap on NIL. There is no cap.
It's how much you want to pay.
How much y'all trying to give me, man. Right. That's going to determine whether or not I'm going to grace that school with my presence.
And I can't wait for the first time where somebody's like, you know, I actually took less to go there.
I took less money.
Like, hey, you know what? Miami was offering me two, but I went to Ohio State for 1.8. That's going to happen at some point. And we will hear
I don't know if that's
that.
Going to happen with a 20-year-old, 21-year-old. There's no way. 21. Taking less money? Less money? No.
Better school? Better not better school. Better program?
This is auction block. Highest bidder.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm trying to get mine.
Me too.
Period.
A guy like that transfers knowing that Ohio State has somebody else, I would assume, right? Ohio State already probably has the guy locked
That's exactly
up.
What happens. Yeah, hit the portal because you're not going to be our guy next year.
Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.